Okay, we're going to start here on Zayin Amud Aleph, nine lines down. Gufa, we're going back to something that we had mentioned during the discussion of the positions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to the anointing of the Shemen HaMishcha, who is Chayav, who's not Chayav. Over there we said, Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Lazar, Kosh Yeshno Basach, Yeshno Bebalisa. Anybody who is able to be Moshech, someone else, then they have a restriction against being Nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha. Whoever is not within that parsha of anointing, is not under that restriction of being anointed. So that comes from the pasuk that we have the restriction, the azhara, against placing Shemen HaMishcha on the individual. It says, "Abasar adam lo isach, matkumto lo tase kamo, kadoshu kadoshi ye." That amalei, shapir karamart. Makes a lot of sense what he's saying. Lo isach tiv. Pasuk says, lo isach with two yuds. Vikari bay. Lo yasich, and you should read it as lo yasich. Now he's moving the yud. Zikzi Rashi discusses this. He's moving the yud from the, in front to after the samach, but that changes it from the act, the passive to the active. Lo yasich means that it should not be placed upon him. But lo yasich means that he should not do sicha. He should not do the anointing. Double reading of the pasuk of lo yasich and lo yasich means that I have the verb both in the active and passive form, and that's what gives the limud. That only someone who is relevant with regards to anointing will be relevant in terms of being anointed. Tosfot over here points out that even according to the one who generally is not Doresh, Mesoret, Smachloket, about how we darshan them, over here you would agree. Because over here it's not just a simple reading of the word, but rather it's the moving of the Yud, Smesaresa Teva. So here there's a reason, or it makes a lot of sense to change it around so that the reading would be this way, not just through a Mesoret. It's not just that we have a Mesoret to read it this way, but you could do it. It's still difficult. I'm not sure why it's so obvious, but Tosfot says that he thinks that even according to the Mandamar, that's not Doresh. Mesoret V'alma, over here he would be Doresh. So the Gemara says, Tani, Rav Chanan, Yekamei Durovo. Minayin L'Kohen Gadol, Shnatal Mishemen HaMishcha Shal Rosho, V'natan Al Bnei Me'av, Minayin Shu Chayav. Kohen Gadol got anointed, but the Shemen HaMishcha on his head says, you know what, there's a little extra oil on my head, I'm going to rub it on my belly afterwards. How do we know that he's Chayav? Shneamar, Abasar Adam, Lo Yisach. You're not allowed to place it on your flesh. So Amalei Ravach, Abrei the Rav, the Ravashi, Maishna, how is this different from Mahad Daniel that we had a Breita? Kohen, Shesach, B'Shemen Shel Truma. A Kohen, who is allowed to use Shemen Shel Truma for his own personal benefit, including putting it on himself, anointing himself with that Shemen. Because we know that the anointing of Shemen on one's body is considered to be like drinking it. Since that is a proper usage of Shemen Shel Truma, he may do that. But then he happens to have a daughter who married Yisrael. And then he has Ben Bito Yisrael. He has a grandson who is a complete Yisrael, not a Kohen. How do we know that after he's anointed his belly with this oil of Truma, that Ben Bito Yisrael Mital Gilbo, his grandson, can roll around on his belly, Veinu Chushesh, doesn't worry about it. Because he's going to get some benefit from the Shemen. The Shemen that's there on his belly now is going to impact the child that's rolling around. Yet we don't want to restrict it. So why don't we say the same thing here by the Kohen Gadol? By the Kohen Gadol, once the Shemen HaMishcha is on his Rosho, why isn't it done? And then whatever he does with it afterwards should be fine. There's a very big difference. Amalei Hotam, Umeitu Boki Chaluluhu Tiv. By Truma, it says, those that profane it will die. Kevin de Chalulei Ha'itchil. Once it's been profaned or used, itchel is done. That it no longer has the status of truma. So once the shemen truma is used for whatever purpose it is set out for, then itchel, it's been profaned. It no longer has kedusha truma anymore. Aval, that's not true. Gabi shemen amishcha. Tiv, it's clear here that they don't have the right pasuk here. Recording a pasuk from Naso, which is gabei ha nazir, happens to be a good drasha. Because of the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol, but they really should be quoting a pasuk from Kohen Gadol, from Emor, and that if you see, it's Ki Shemen Mishchat Elokav Alav. So that's the pasuk that should be quoted over here. That Shemen Mishchat Kariya Rachmana Afgav De'it Alav Lo Itchil. There's a big difference. By Shemen Mishchat, even after he was anointed with it, it's still called Shemen Mishchat, retains its Shemen Mishchat. And because of that, there's a problem with him taking it from his head and placing it on his belly. So there's a key difference between Truma, which loses its shame truma after it's been used, to Shemen HaMishcha, which retains its status after it's being used. And therefore, Shemen HaTruma after it's used, others draw benefit from it, that's not a problem, like the grandson of the Kohen. Over here, if the Kohen Gadol takes the Shemen HaMishcha from his head and puts it on his belly, they were problematic. It's a misappropriation of the Shemen HaMishcha, because the Shemen HaMishcha retains its Kedusha and shame Shemen HaMishcha. We see that from the Pasuk describing the Kohen Gadol in Parashat Emor, that he's called Kohen HaMashuach. A Kohen who is anointed is called the Kohen HaMashuach, and that Mishcha retains, stays with him. It's still called Shemen HaMishcha even after he was anointed. Now we're back to the Mishnah. This is the conclusion of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, it says that al elu chayavim al zdono karet ve'al shigigato chatat ve'al lo hoda lehem shalem al sham toloi chutz min ha-metamei mikdash u'kdoshav. So metamei mikdash u'kdoshav is the exception to this rule. What is it accepted from? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Tani chutz min ha-metamei mikdash u'kdoshav mimai mapiklei. What is it excluding it from? Hachi tani, this is what it means. Chutz min ha-metamei mikdash u'kdoshav she'mi ve'in ha-sham toloi. That it doesn't bring an Hashem Talui, because Hashem Talui only comes for someone who would bring a Korban Kavua, a fixed Chatat, when they would have brought a Korban and they knew for sure that they were Shogeg. Over here, Metamei Mikdash Ukdasha brings a Korban Ole V'Yoreid when they find out about it. So since they bring a Korban Ole V'Yoreid, they're not Shayach to the Parsha of Hashem Talui. So that's what it means. They're not in the Parsha of Hashem Talui. So V'Ninei Nami Chutz Mimi Shavar Lav Yom HaKippurim. Well, if that's what we're talking about here, Hashem Talui, things that poter an individual from Hashem Talui, why don't we include also crossing over Yom Kippur? If you pass by Yom Kippur, Shein Mevim Hashem Talui, that's poter him from Hashem Talui. If he's poter him from Hashem Talui, we should have mentioned, Chutz Min HaMatei Mikdash Kudashav, Vishavar Alav Yom HaKippurim. So Gemara says two answers. Resh Lakish, Kiktani, Hecha De'ite L'chatat, Rachmana Patre. The Mishnah is discussing a case where, if he would have been chayav chatat, and the Torah says you are patur, avar lav yom kippurim leta lechatat the kakaparle. Yom Kippur is no longer the case that we're discussing here. Discussion in the Mishnah is if I would have known, I would have been chayav chatat, or would have been chayav korban. There, I bring an Hashem Talui or don't bring a Hashem Talui. So that's what the Mishnah is discussing. Where am I patur from Hashem Talui? Where I would be chayav for a chatat bishogeg. That's the case. Tamei mikdash kedoshav, because they're chayav korban olei v'yorei. It's not talking about Yom Kippur. Once you pass Yom Kippur, you're not chayiv in a chatat whatsoever. It's done. The whole thing's nitchaper. And therefore, the Hashem Talui is not relevant because the whole parsha of Korban is no longer relevant to you. Rav Yochanan, the other answer is given by Rav Yochanan, bimim va'et. There's not even a person who, the literal translation is he kicks it away, but someone who rejects Yom Kippur. Tikamar, en Yom Kippurim michaper. Says Yom Kippur is not michaper. It does not bring me kapara. Di hodr bei bater Yom Kippurim. By the two Hashem Talui, if that's tshuva after Yom Kippur, he still is chayav in Hashem Talui. So it solved the problem one of two ways. Either we say that Yom Kippur is not relevant to the structure of the Mishnah, because the structure of the Mishnah is a case where you're chayav chatat and patur for Hashem Talui. Or B'Yochanan comes up with a case where Yom Kippur is not poter you from Hashem Talui, and that's a case where you don't believe that Yom Kippur is mechaper. Rabbi Shlakish Savar mevayit nami mechaper le Yom HaKippurim. Shlakish has this shita, which is similar to a shita that you see in Yoma from Rabbi, which is that Yom Kippur works even if you reject it. Uplukta, and it's a machloket. Omer lo yitchaper li chatati. Uplukta here doesn't literally mean that this is the same machloket, but a very similar machloket. You could differentiate between the machlokot, but there's something, a similar idea in machloket, which is, Omer lo yitchaper li chatati. Someone brings a chatat and says, I don't want it to be mechaper for me. He says he doesn't want to work, it doesn't work. Rabbi says it works. So, everybody says, don't bring me a chatat. Everybody agrees it doesn't work. This past week's parsha that we read, and the truth be, this is written by the Korban Olah. The Korban Olah says, we force him to bring it. But we say, he has to bring it willingly. So from that we learned that in Arachim, but you do see that there has to be some sort of ratzon. If he specifically says, I don't want to bring it, then you can't bring it on his behalf. Now that's true by the Olah. It's also true by the Chatat. Their argument of Bayan Rob is the case where he says, I'm bringing it, but I don't want it to be mechaper. Bayan says very straightforward. He says, I don't want it to work, it doesn't work. Rav Amar mechaperet. Came into Amar Tikrav, kapara me'la'atio. Since he agrees that he's going to bring the chatat, the kapara is just an outcome of that. Kapara is not a option. Once you bring a chatat, you automatically attain kapara. Now the Gemara says here, Rav versed his position on this, He changed his mind with regards to this, and we'll see in a second why. But it's interesting why Tosafot and the Rebbeinu Gershom don't want you to say that the Machlokot line up exactly, is because over here we have a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and Abaye and Rava. And we know that halacha between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. We know that halacha by Rava, halacha is like Rava. So it would turn out that you'd have a stira on Pesach here, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Enu Mechaper by Yom HaKippurim, and Rava is saying Mechaper by Chatat. Now it's true that Rava changes his mind later, but if you match them up when the Gemara has a Havamina, it wouldn't work out. The Pesach would be against each other. Correct. So that's why Tosafot says it's not the exact same Machlok, and you can differentiate, that way you don't have a problem in Pesach. Kedetanya, we have a Braita. So now, why is the Braita a problem for Rava? It's because Rava later on interprets the Braita. So we know Rava knew about the Braita. Not always is a Braita a problem for an Amora, because we don't expect the Amora to know every Braita. How do you know here that Rava knew this Braita? Because he later on explains this Braita. So he explained the Braita, he must have known it, and that means that he must have Hadar Bei Rava. Rava must have reversed his position. Kedetanya, Yocho, Yehei Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Shavin Val Shein Shavin. Whether you do tshuva or you don't do tshuva, you think Yom Kippur will work? V'dinu. Shabir kal v'chomer. Umah chatat v'asham mechaprim v'yom kippurim mechaper. Chatat v'asham work to be mechaper. Yom kippurim also works to be mechaper. Umah chatat v'asham in mechaprim el al shavim. They only work for those that do tshuva. Av yom kippurim in mechaper el al shavim. Yom kippur should also only work for those that do tshuva. Where it says, no. Yom amart b'chatat v'asham she'in mechaprim al amezid kishugeg. Chatat v'asham are not mechaper. They only work for a shogeg. You're going to say by Yom Kippur, which works on a mezid and a shogeg to be mechaper. So Yom Kippur should work for somebody who doesn't do tshuva, because it has the ability also to be mechaper on a mezid, which a korban can't do. Ach is a mute that is brought by Yom Kippurim, and the mute is, it differentiates between those that are doing tshuva and those that don't do tshuva. So now, just to note here, the Gemara brings the proof from Chatat and Asham. When it comes to Chatat v'Asham, yes, a Chatat is only brought on a shogeg and not a mezid, but that's not true when it comes to an Asham. We're going to see in the next parak that an Asham can be brought both on a shogeg and a mezid. So Rashi over here says that the Asham is lav davka. The limud is all from Chatat and not from Asham. So Sefot says, we can even learn out of Asham. First of all, not every asham, every chatat is mechaper mezid. There's specific ashamot that work and chataot that work by mezid. So that's one. Number two is, Yom Kippur is different, because Yom Kippur is mechaper on chavei kretot, that the asham and chatat are not mechaper on with mezid. And number two is, not every mezid is covered by these korbanot. Not all korbanot can, there are specific four items, the Mishnah says, where shogeg mezid. So he rejects Rashi's saying asham lavdaka. He says even asham could be included here. My shavin, v'shein shavin. Let's understand this brayta that we brought. What does it mean to do tshuva and not to do tshuva? Ilam shavin shogeg, shavin is shogeg, lo shavin mezid. That shavin means that he did it b'shogeg, lo shavin is mezid. Aktani. You can't say that. The brayta said, lo yimamart, b'chatat v'sham, and it mentioned shogeg mezid explicitly. So shogeg mezid have to be separate from shavin v'ein shavin. Elihad ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it's this case. Achal chelev v'yifrish karban. He ate chelev. Now he's chayev v'chatat, he's mafrish karban. V'ymir dato. And then he went off the derech, the chazarbo, and then he does tshuva. Ho v'nidche, yidche. Well, since the korban was already mufrash kechatat, but he lost his status with this korban because he was emir dato, he can't use this korban chatat anymore, he has to bring a different chatat. So now, the Gemara is suggesting the same thing by Yom Kippur. Here, by when he was emir dato by Yom HaKippurim, maybe you would say that since he missed this Yom Kippur, he's done. He can't do it anymore. He lost his chance to get chaparah. And now he'd have to bring a korban. It says, Nehi d'idche korban, gavra bar kaparu. That doesn't make sense. By korban, we say that the korban is nidchet. We don't say that the person is ois kapara now, that he can't bring a kapara anymore. So the same thing, right? He just has to bring a new chatat. So the same thing here. You can't say by Yom Kippur, just because he passed one Yom Kippur where he's emir dato, that he can't attain kapara afterwards. The next Yom Kippur he'll get his kapara. Gemara says, Ela, shavin, damar yichaper alai, chatati. What does it mean, shavin? He says that my chatat should work to be mechaper. Shein shavim, damar lo techaper alai chatati. It should not take care of me. It should not be mechaper. Shma mina, that here you have a braita that says explicitly that when it comes to shavin, it works. Einan shavin, it doesn't work. And the einan shavin over here means that I don't want the chatat to work, and that's against Rava's position. So I have a braita that's against Rava's position, and again, Rava later on interprets the braita, so we know he saw it, which means that Rava must have reversed his position. Vermini, we just brought a stam sifra, and now we're going to bring another stam sifra. I would have thought that Yom Kippur is only mechaper on someone who keeps the day of Yom Kippur, which means nitanebo, he has inui, no achila, no shtia, and all the other inuim. Lo asabo malacha, he doesn't do malacha like you're not supposed to do on Yom Kippur. And vikaro mikra kodesh. Now the word karo is not clear here in the sifra in Torah Kohanim. Many say the girsa is vaso mikra kodesh, and he made it into a mikra kodesh. What does that mean to make it into a mikra kodesh? Rashi over here, and she says b'tikun seder tefila. He does it through davening. He davens, he adds in the special insertions, he makes the tefillah special for Yom HaKippurim, for that day. Tosafot, over here, says, Mikra Kodesh is that he's mechabed oto b'ksut nikia, which is very interesting, because Rashi al-Chumash says that's the definition of Mikra Kodesh by Yom HaKippurim. Mikra Kodesh by Yom Kippur, going to Rashi, there's no achila, there's no shtia, so what's Mikra Kodesh? Ksut nikia. That's what Tosafot says over here. Rashi over here says tefillah, which is interesting because the Ramban al Torah says Mikra Kodesh is the people gathering together in the Batei Knesiot. Timil Halel Mishabeach LaHashem, Tadavim to Hashem. But Ramban talks about it in a much more broad sense of Am Yisrael together, but he does talk about Seder Tefillah, which is what Rashi quotes over here. Others say Mikra Kodesh means to declare it. A Kodesh means Kiddush, or to assign the day as a day of Kedusha, to make sure that the calendar falls out, and to designate the day that is Yom Tov itself. These are all different interpretations, exactly what it means to keep it as a Mikra Kodesh. So I would have thought you would need all of these items in order for Yom Kippur to be successful at providing Kapara. But, if Lo Nitan Ebo, he doesn't have the Inui, Vasabo Malacha, he does Malacha, Velo Karo, Velo Aso Mikra Kodesh, Yochol Lo Yeh Yom Kippur Mechaper, I would think Yom Kippur wouldn't work in that case. Talmud Omar, Yom HaKippurim, who? Mikol Makom. Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippur, no matter what, and it's successful at creating kapara, even if the person doesn't keep Yom Kippur. Retavayu Stam Sifra Heim. They're both Stam Sifra, they're Stam Torat Kohanim. Kashin Al-Dodi. And you have a Stira in a Stam Sifra. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. And so now you have two Memrot in this Sifra and Torat Kohanim that are according to Rabbi Yehuda, and they're Soter. One says you have to do tshuva to get Yom Kippur to work. One says you don't have to do tshuva for Yom Kippur to work. So Rabbi Elo Kasho, no problem. Ha? Now the gears here is not clear. It's either ha Rabbi Yehuda, or it's ha Rabbi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi. I'll leave it today. It's Rabbi stating his own opinion, and Rabbi stating the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Makes more sense to say, and this is what Rashi's Girsa is, that it's Ha Rabbi Yehuda. The one that's Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. And the other is Stam Sifra, which argues and says that Yom Kippur works even without Tshuva. That's Rabbi. Because we know Rabbi's opinion from the Mishnah and Yoma, that Rabbi believes that Yom Kippurim, Itzumo Shoyo Mechaper. The day itself is Mechaper. It's not about the Tshuva, it's the day itself that is Mechaper. Titanio, Rabbi Omer, Kolivero Tshuva Torah, Ben Asa Tshuva, Ben Lo Asa Tshuva, Yom Kippurim, Mechaper. All the mitzvot of Torah, Yom Kippur works on, even if you don't do Tshuva. Chutz, exceptions are, Poreko, someone Rashi says, Poreko mitzvot, he rejects all the mitzvot, Migaleh Panim, but Torah, he is haughty with regards to the Torah. Over here can mean a number of things. Either Rashi brings down that he's Doresh, things that are dofi, he makes up drashot about the Torah. That's one possibility. Or Megaleh Panim b'Torah is that he doesn't give respect to Talmidei Chachamim or proper respect to the Torah. And the last one is Shemefer Brit Basar. He covers over his milah. He tries to bring the foreskin back over his milah. And all of these, I would say, the common denominator between them is that they are a rejection of Torah and being a part of Bali Yisrael, being a part of Am Yisrael. He's disenfranchising himself. If you disenfranchise yourself, then you can't have Yom Kippur work for you. So these are so severe, and a disconnect between you and Kodesh Baruch Hu and Judaism, so therefore you lose out on Yom Kippur. But as long as you're still attached, still a part of the unit of Klal Yisrael, you will attain Mechapara on Yom Kippur, even if you don't do Tshuva. Rabbi will be the author of the Stam Sifra that says it works even if you don't do Tshuva. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will be the author of that Stam Sifra, the Torah Kohanim, that says you need to do Tshuva. Then it says in these three exceptions, Shemasa Tshuva, Yom Kippur Mechaper, in love, and Yom Kippur Mechaper. Only if you do Tshuva. You have to rejoin Klal Yisrael, basically. Rejoin a Kodesh Baruch Hu in order for Yom Kippurim to work. Rabbi Amar, Rabbi says, Haba, Rabbi, Alibi Dunafshe. All these are authored by Rabbi. Umodarabi Baveriot Yom Kippurim Gufet Lo Mechaper. Depends what type of aver you're talking about. If you're talking about an avera prior to Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur works, even without tshuva. But if you're talking about Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippur itself cannot be mechaper on itself. Dilo Teimaoch, if you don't say that, Koreit Yom Kippurim L'Rabi. How do you ever have Koreit on Yom Kippur according to Rabbi? Kevin to Choshat B'Shat Mechaper. Every moment on Yom Kippur you'd be Nitzkaper. Ve'echem Mishkachla, how would you ever find a case of Koreit? If he always says that Yom Kippur takes care of any aver you do, including the ones you do on Yom Kippur, you'll never have a din of karet, because you'll be nitchaper immediately. So my says, my kushya, what's the question? Dilma avad avedita kule laylo. He's working all night of Yom Kippur. V'hadi amud shachar. Dawn breaks, meet, and he dies. He never reached the day of Yom Kippur to be mechaper on him. So he violated working on Yom Kippur at night, and he never reaches the daytime, which is its emotional yom, which provides the kapara. Where it says, Tina Koreit Alelya. Okay, fine. So you found me a case where we can get Koreit at night. Koreit Yamama Hecha Mishkachala. What about during the day? How do you ever come to a Chiyuv Koreit during the day? My Kushya. Dilma Dahadi Ka'ochel Nema Chankate. Umta Umit. Maybe when he was eating bread, or he was chewing on some meat, and it got caught in his throat, he choked, and he died. Tovle Sholt. Biyomamo de la Chaperle. He never was alive after the point of the Isur in order to meet his Chaper. He choked on the Isur. Inami, the other possibility is he's doing work right by sunset, and he works straight through sunset, so then he never has a chance that Yom Kippur can be mechaper. Inami, at the time that he's doing work, paske mara the shakye, that the mara, the spade, the axe cut off his leg, umit, and he dies. He died in the avera, the act of the avera, he dies. So there are ways to get a karet on Yom Kippur, so that's not a proof that Yom Kippur is not the chaper on itself, because there is that possibility. Although Rava wants to suggest that Rabbi distinguishes or differentiates between Averot before Yom Kippur and Averot on Yom Kippur. V'chamim omrim, our mission they say, afa megadef. The other exception to the rule here is the megadef does not bring a korban. My afa megadef. What does that mean that the megadef is also not included here? It's Rabbanan Shamul Rabbi Akiva. The author of our Mishnah we know is Rabbi Akiva, that we already established before, because of Megadef, in the Mishnah that does bring a Korban Chatat, which we'll see is the position of Rabbi Akiva. So they heard Rabbi Akiva say, the Tani Balov, Velo Tani Yidoni. We discussed this already, the Gemara says, that the Mishnah mentions Balov, but doesn't mention Yidoni. So Amalei, Mishnah, Dolo Maiti Korban, why does a Yidoni not mention here? Because he doesn't bring a Korban. Why not? Shem Delayt Be'maseh. There is no action, and Yidoni has no action. So Megadev namilei peimaseh. Megadev also has namilei. So therefore, Megadev should also be excluded from the Mishnah, just like you excluded Yidoni. Tanu Rabbanan. Megadev mevi korban hu v'nemar bo karet divrei Rabbi Akiva. And this is the position of Rabbi Akiva, that a Megadev does bring a korban because it has a chiyuv karet associated with it. Vilmerin also says, v'nasach et o. This is probably a wrong quote. It probably should be chet o isa. It's probably the quote that you want to bring. We'll see in a second why that is. Is that really a principle? If you're chayav karet, you automatically bring a korban chatat. Pesach u'mila, dichtibu karet. Pesach u'mila are chiyuvei karet, and yet below mighty korban. Nevertheless, they don't bring a korban. So how could you say that that's a proof that megadev brings a korban? Mar says, "Achi kamar megadev mevi korban hoil uva bo karet b'makom korban divrei Rabbi Akiva." Rikiva says, where is the placement of the Parsha of Megadev? Parsha of Megadev is found in Parsha at Shlach. In Parsha at Shlach, it talks about, there you're talking about Karban Chatot, I mean Chatat for Avodah Zarah. And in the middle of a Parsha of Karbanot, speaking about a Korban, all of a sudden the Torah inserts this issue of Megadev. And it says, beginning of the Parsha, Zvim Nevesh Achat Techta Bishvaga, Rikiva is Bachnata Lechatat. That's the beginning of that little parshia, that paragraph. And then at the end of the paragraph it says, "Benefesh shetaseh biyad ramah, min ezrach min ager et Hashem hu megadev, v'nechuta nefesh ha'i min kerav amah." So that chiyuv karet is found in a parsha of korbanot. So he says, "Hoyo ubal bo karet bimkom karban, or mimekom karban, it comes in a place of karban, divrei Rabbi Akiva, kasavar, migo dubai michtov karet ba'alma." He could have written karet anywhere in the Torah. But the chiyuv karet bimkom karban, it writes it specifically in the place of Karbanot, Shmamino Maiti Karban. So that shows you that it brings a Korban. The Girsan now in the Gemara is a machloka between Rashi and Tosafot with regards to what the Girsan is. The Girsan now found in our Gemara is more like Tosafot. The Girsa that Rashi has is totally different. It starts on the top line in Rashi. We'll read in Rashi. It says here, the Va'omer Chad O Yisa, that quote is actually the Rabbanah. That goes according to the Rabbanah. That's not a continuation of the statement of Rabbi Akiva, but a statement from the Rabbanah. Now the question is, what does that mean? It's actually the Rabbanah. Is it actually the Rabbanah that Rabbi Akiva is saying this to the Rabbanah? Or is actually the Rabbanah mean that the Rabbanah themselves are speaking at this point in time? That's the machlok between Rashi and Tosafot. If you look at Rashi, the top line, Bahochi Kamarle Rabbanah the Rabbi Akiva. Rashi reads it as, actually the Rabbanah means the Rabbanah are now speaking. Amarta, Yusid Megadef may be Karban, Hovenerabo Karet Bimkuakom Karban, because Karet is mentioned by the place of Karban. Misvarat, Megadef Tekra, Haino Mevarechet Hashem. Wait a minute, who says Megadef is actually Mevarechet Hashem, that it's really talking about Chas V'Shalom, someone who curses Hashem? Megadef, Haino Oveid Avad Azarah. Megadef is not Mevarechet Hashem, Megadef is really Oveid Avad Azarah. Now Rashi explains, what about in our Mishnah, Chamim or Mim, Afa Megadef? What do you mean? Our Mishnah, our Chachamim say that Megadev is not a Maisa. Well, if it's not a Maisa, you must be talking about Mevarechet Hashem, not about Oveid Avodah Zarah. So, Hachi Kamrei. Af HaMegadev Tidach. Chachamim are saying, according to your sheet to Rabbi Akiva, Af HaMevarechet Hashem, Shatar HaKoratev Megadev, that you call Megadev, that should not be included, because it doesn't have a Maisa. That's the way Rashi reads it. And then the Gemara continues and asks, Elo Koret B'Mevarechet Hashem Menolohu. That karet comes to someone who is mikalel chas v'shalom et Hashem. How do we know that from the Torah? That the Gemara says we learn out of a gzera shava. That's what I said before about cheto yisa. It's a gzera shava that it says by korban pesach. This is by pesach sheni. It says there that a person who does not bring the korban pesach, that cheto yisa. And Parshat Emor says, someone who is Mikalel, this is at the end of Parshat Emor, with the story of the Mikalel over there, in the Parsha about the Mikalel, it tells us that anybody who is Mikalel, at Elokav, Minasa, Cheto. Gemara draws a Gzeira Shava between them. Just like by Pesach Sheni, there's a Chiyuv Karet for someone who doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, who's Tahor, and Lobaderech Rokuka, doesn't bring Korban Pesach, he's Chayuv Karet. So too, benasachet o by someone who is mikalel elokav, that will also be referencing a chiyuv karet. So that's the order of the Gemara according to Rashi. Rashi says, Rabbanon are saying to Rabbi Kiva, you've got Megadef wrong. Megadef is not about Mevarechet Hashem, but rather about Avodah Zarah. And in our Mishnah, when they say that Megadef should be included, they're saying, I'll leave it to Rabbi Kiva. According to you, Rabbi Kiva says it's Mevarechet Hashem when there's no Maiseh. According to us, it's Avodah Zarah. But according to you, it says it's Mevarechet Hashem, it shouldn't be included in the list. Rabbi Kiva says, well, if you don't include Megadef as Mevarechet Hashem, how do you know that Mevarechet Hashem gets Karet? They say we learned that out as a Gezeirah Shavah between Pesach Sheni and the Parsha of Mikalel. Tosafot, on the other hand, reads the Gemara, Atal Rabbonon, to mean that Rabbi Akiva is still speaking to Rabbanan. This is what Rabbi Akiva poses to the Rabbanan. And he says to the Rabbanan, Cheto Yisa, Rach Yamar Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan, that's where we have an argirsa, Amritu Megadef, Leit Leit Masa, you say that Megadef doesn't have any Maisa to it? Rabbi Akiva says to them that Megadef is really not Mevarechet Hashem, but rather Megadef is Oveid Avodah Zarah. So then the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Akiva and say to him, wait a minute, we think Megadef is a Mevarechet Hashem, but you, who thinks Megadef is a Oveid Avodah Zarah, and therefore there is a Maisa over here, where do you learn out that Megadef, that Mevarechet Hashem, does get a Chiyuv Karet? And then we bring that Hekesh, or that Gzeira Shava between the Parsha of Pesach Sheni to the Parsha of Emor about the Mikalel to tell you that you get a Chiyuv Karet. So therefore it'll be according to Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rashi, the Rabboner of the opinion that Megadef is a Oveid Avodah Zarah, and not Mevarechet Hashem. And then the challenge to them is, where do you know that Mevarechet Hashem gets Karet? According to Tosafot, Rabbi Kiva's of the opinion that Megadef is Oveid Avodah Zarah. And the Rabbanan then challenge him, where do you know that Mevarechet Hashem is a Chiyuv Karet? And he answers from that, Gzeira Shavah between Pesach Sheni and Mikalel. According to both of the Girsot, the other opinion, it's a machloket in the Gemara Psachim about Pesach Sheni, whether there is a Chiyuv Karet. So we see over there, Cheto Yisa, that he gets a chet for not bringing the Korban Pesach. We're not sure if it refers to Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. If you think it's referencing back to Pesach Rishon, we already know there's a Chiyuv Karet by Pesach Rishon. So why is it repeated here? That's to learn out the Gzeira Shavah between Pesach Sheni and Mikalel. According to the one who says that we don't learn it that way, He will say that it's referencing Pesach Sheni. Not only is it Pesach Rishon a Chiyuv Karet, but someone who intentionally misses Pesach Sheni, they will have a Chiyuv Karet. So it was necessary to write it over here to teach us about Pesach Sheni. And that person will learn out Megadeh from the fact that it's found in the Parsha HaKarbanot. So the Machloket and Pesachim as to whether the Karet references Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni will influence over here how you learn Megadeh. You can learn Megadeh out of it if it's referencing Pesach Rishon, which is unnecessary. But if it's referencing Pesach Sheni, it's necessary, and then that person will learn out Megadeh has a Chiyuv Karet from being in the Parsha of the Korban.
Okay, Tan Rabbanan, now the Gemara is going to discuss this issue of what exactly Megadeif is. Et Hashem hu Megadeif. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Kadam Omer lechaveiro, Girafta kara v'chisarta. So first we'll go with Rashi's interpretation. We're taking Megadeif, and we're saying that the Reish is mitchalefet b'dalet. The dalet in Megadeif gets switched to a Reish, which means Megareif, to clear off. So here it says, Girafta kara v'chisarta. He cleaned off the plate, and not only did he clean off the plate, along with cleaning off the plate, he took a piece of the plate with him. Kasavar, he obviously holds Megadeif mivarech Hashem hu. And Megadeif is to be mikalelet Hashem, meaning not only is this a kofer bakol, but he's bugeya ba'ashem, because he's mevarechet Hashem. Elazar ben Azariah omer ka'adam omer lechaviro, girafta kara velo chisarta. Cleaned off the plate, but he didn't remove anything from the plate. Just cleaned the plate, but the plate remains intact. And that's a kofer bakol. That's kasaver megadeif, ainu avid avad azara. He's avid avad azara, but he doesn't direct something at HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He still believes that there is an ultimate creator. He still might believe there's Hashem, but he's also avid avad azara. As opposed to a megadeif, where he's taking a direct attack against Hashem, there's no more room for. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot actually learns it the exact opposite way, and says that girafta kara v'chisarta means that he cleaned off the plate, v'chisarta, and he left something behind. He didn't do a full cleaning. He cleaned off the plate, but left something back. Kasavar migadeif mivarechat Hashem. That's mivarechat Hashem. Hashem is still there. Person is doing something that's incorrect. They are being bogeya b'Hashem, but at least there is still Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, kadam omer lechaviro, girafta kara velo chisarta. He cleaned it off entirely. There's nothing left there. And that is referencing to avodah v'zara. Kasavar megadeif hainu avodah v'zara. That megadeif is actually worshipping avodah zara, which is a complete denial of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi and Tosafot actually learn these the opposite way around. Now, in terms of what does it mean, Megadeif Hainu Ovid Avodah Zarah, Rashi says that it has to be a case of Mishorer, Mizamer, that he sings or he plays for Avodah Zarah. De la milta rabba hi kikuli hai. They think that it's not such an offensive Avodah Zarah. He's doing something to honor the Avodah Zarah, in that way, to worship it in that manner. But that's what is called Megadeif Hainu Ovid Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Tosafot disagrees. And he says, the Nira, the Megadeif Hainu Ovid Avodah Kochavim, Bizibuach V'Kitur. It's a regular worship of Avodah Zarah. It's complete Avodah Zarah. And therefore he disagrees with Rashi with regards to the interpretation of what Ovid Avodah Zarah is over here. Tanidoch, we have another Braita that says, Et Hashem Hu Megadeif, Belazer Ben Azari Omer, Bovid Avodah Zarah, Ketuv Mevedoer. Chamim Orim, Lo Ba'Ketuv Elitein Karet, Lemevarech Hashem. And this machloket about what exactly Megadeif is Megadeif Mevarechat Hashem, is Megadeif Ovid Avodah Zarah? But even according to one who says Megadeif is Ovid Avodah Zarah, he still thinks that Mevarech Hashem is Chayav Karet. And now we learn out from the Ekeish, or the Gzera Shava, between Pesach Sheni and Megadeif. Alright, next Mishnah. Yesh Mibiot Korban Venechal. Some people bring a Korban, and that Korban is Eden. Yesh Mibiot Korban, some people bring a Korban, Venu Nechal, and it's not Eden. Yesh Sheno Mibiot. Now there are some people who do not bring Korbanot at all. See, we're talking about a Chatat. Certain Chatot are brought, and they're Eden. Certain Chatot are brought, because they're brought as a fake, they're not Eden. And certain people do not bring a chatat whatsoever. So here's the first of those permutations. Elu miviot korban v'nechal. These are people who bring a korban, and it's eden. This is a chatat. Here we're talking about a yoledet, a woman who gives birth. A woman who gives birth brings an olah and a chatat. She brings shtei bnei yuna, or shtei torim, and one of them is an olah, and one of them is a chatat. Now, hamapelet kemin behima chaya ba'of. The woman who miscarries, and the discharge that comes out looks like an animal of some sort or a bird. So Rabbi Meir says that has dinei tuma, and that's because the word yitzira is used not only by Adam, but by Beima Chaya and Of in Maaseh Bereishit. And therefore he thinks that that is enough to qualify one to be Chayav in Korban Yoledet. Rabbi say no, that Adam is unique, and only if there's a miscarriage or a discharge of a shape of an Adam are you Chayav in terms of a Korban. According to both of them, once you've hit that threshold, the woman brings a korban yoledet, even though it's not a live, viable baby, nevertheless, she's still chayevet in korban yoledet, and she has to bring this chatat. And this chatat, which is brought, is also Eden. Hamapelet sandal. Someone who gives birth to a discharge that is a sandal, the shape of sandal, as Rashi points out, that it's a crushed fetus, basically. Oshoya, Oshvir Mirukam, or if it is a placenta or afterbirth, or it's some sort of sac that has forms of Evarim in it, so it's a mechutach, or a baby that had to be cut up in order to allow it to exit, chen shivcha shipila, or a shivcha knanit that miscarried, meviya korban venechal. In all these discharges, all of these situations, there's a korban yuleta that's brought, and it's eaten because it's a full-fledged katat. So over here, in all these cases, you would have thought, you would have a havamina that you do not have to bring a korban yuleta because it wasn't a viable baby. Or by shivcha knanit, we'll see why there was a havamina that you shouldn't bring it. And the answer, the Mishnah is, in all these cases, you must bring a chatat, bring a full-fledged chatat, and if it's a full-fledged chatat, the fact that the kohanim can eat from this chatat, because there is no sofek here that this woman is chayevet to bring a chatat, because the discharge in some way resembled a human. Elu meviot veno neachalot. These are, they'll bring a korban yuledet, a chatat, and it's not eaten. Hamapelet veno deamahipila. She discharged, she had miscarriage, but she doesn't know what she miscarried. Or, shtei nashim shehipilu. Two women that miscarried. One of them discharged something that would have been chayevet mikorban. One of them discharged something that would be b'turah mikorban. But they don't know which is which. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi about this case says, hey, matai. B'shman shalchu zeh lemizrach, or zo lemizrach, v'zo lemizrach. When one of them went east, one of them went west, meaning they brought their korbanot, and they're not around. Avad mayu shteyem omdot. If they're both there, shteyem meviot korban v'nechal. They bring a korban jointly, and that'll be eaten. We'll explain this again in the Gemara. Elu she'in meviot. These are women that do not bring a korban whatsoever. Hamapele tefir malei mayim. It gives birth to a sack that's full of water, does not have any ivarim. Malei dam, or full of blood, or malei gninim, or full of different colors. Hamapele kemin dagim chagavim ushkatzim remasim. She gives birth to a discharge that looks like a fish, a grasshopper, shkatzim, remasim, crepey and quality things. Hamapelet yom arbaim, one who discharges, miscarries within the first 40 days after conception. Biyotzei dolphin, and this is Aaron's section. Rabbi Shimon mechayev biyotzei dolphin. Rabbi Shimon disagrees by yotzei dolphin. So just to give a broad perspective on the Mishnah, the yoledet who brings an olah nechatat. If we know for sure that she gave birth to something, that's whether she gave birth to a live or viable baby, a stillborn, or all those items that are miscarriages, but are still classified as being a fetus, in all those cases, she brings a full-fledged chatat, and like a regular chatat oaf, it's brought and eaten by the kohanim. The other situation, and this is where the chatat oaf is unique, in that no other chatat can be brought b'safek. Other korbanot, which have a nedava associated with them, for it's like an ola. If you have an obligation to bring an ola, you're not sure if you have to bring it, you can bring the ola, and you can make a condition. If I need to bring it, it's my ola. If not, it's an nedava, it's a voluntary offering. You can do the same thing with a shlamim. Can't do that with a chatat, because there is no voluntary offering of a chatat. So if one has to bring a chatat, and they are uncertain as to whether they bring the chatat, we don't allow you to bring it. Because we don't want to bring chulin onto the mizbeach, we don't want the kohanim to eat from a nevela. All of those reasons, we say that you don't bring it. The one exception to that rule is the chatat oaf. The chatat oaf is unique because nothing of it ends up on the mizbeach except for the dam. The dam of the chatat oaf goes on the mizbeach. Portion of it is thrown out, and the remainder is given to the kohanim to eat. So in that case, we say there's no downside in bringing the chatat oaf. You'll bring the chatat oaf, you'll put the dam on the mizbeach. So there, if you were chayav or chayevet to bring a chatat oaf, you've done your job, you've been discharged your obligation. If you weren't chayav to bring it, then you didn't do anything bad. Some dam ended up on the mizbeach, but you didn't put anything achilat mizbeach, you didn't put anything on the mizbeach itself. Now with regards to the kohanim eating it, they cannot eat such a korban because the way that a korban of a bird is shefted in the mikdash is through melika. Melika is only good when it's kodesh. But if it's not kodesh and it's chulin, then melika makes it into a nevela. And since we're uncertain here as to what the status of this bird is when you shecht it, and we're doing it through melika, the resultant bird is now possibly a nevela. And therefore we say that the korban is brought misafek, but not ena nechal. It's not eaten by the kohanim. Obviously the last category was where they were not chayevet at all. Someone was not chayev to bring a chatat, and obviously in that case you don't bring it, and you don't eat it. Now Gemara says, Mishivcha minoan, the Tanu Rabbanan, B'nei Yisrael, in the yellow B'nei Yisrael. In the beginning of Parshat Ki Tezriah, it says, B'nei Yisrael. So I would have thought only Jews have to bring a korban. Gioret, v'shivcha minayin. How do I know that a gioret, a convert, and a shivcha knanit have to bring also? Tamalomar Isha. Isha no matter what. My v'chein shivcha. Why would you have thought shivcha should be excluded? Shivcha, knanit, and evi knani have the same din as an Isha. There are chayavim in any mitzvah that an Isha is chayavit in. And we learned that from Exer Shava of La in the Gemara in Kiddushin. So why over here would you all of a sudden assume that the Shivcha Knanit would not have to bring a Karban Yoledet? A woman brings a Karban Yoledet, so why shouldn't the Shivcha Knanit? That principle which we established that any set of mitzvot that a woman is Chayevet in, so is an Eved Knani. I would thought that's only true when we're talking about mitzvot that are equally applicable to men and women. Aviyoledet, which is only b'nashimita, that's only relevant to women. B'nashimleta, by men, it's not relevant. Emalo, t'chayev shivcha. I would say, the shivcha should not have to bring it because those aren't the types of mitzvot that they are chayevin in. Achitano. That's why we brought down Shivcha. We brought the Shivcha to indicate to us or to teach us that the Shivcha does not get that tour. Shivcha is Chayevet, just like she is Chayevet in all other mitzvot that a woman is Chayevet in. Elu Mevin Karban. My Avdin. What do they do? This is the case where you have the two women were hiding out somewhere. They both miscarried. One of them had a miscarriage that was patur. One of them had a miscarriage that was chayevet in korban, yoledet. And now we have to do something about it. We said in the Mishnah that they each bring their own karbanot. And the chatat is misafek, and the olah is brought out tonight. That Rabbi Yossi says, or qualifies that statement, says that's only true if they bring their korbanot and leave. But if they're around, then we're going to have them bring the korbanot jointly, which is, my avdin, maitin tavayu chad korban, vadai, they both bring a korban vadai, which is the olah. Each of them brings their own korban olah, their own bird for an olah, because they can be matne on it. They can say, either this olah is mine, for my chiyuv, with regards to yoledet, or this olah is an itava. And then jointly, the chatat of safek, and they bring the chatat of safek jointly, umatne, and then they make a tanai, that if I'm the one who's chayevet, this chatat is mine, you'll give me your possession in it. And if yours is the chatat here, then I'll give you my possession in it. Mar says, me, le, Rabbi Yossi, tano, does Rabbi Yossi allow such things to bring korbanot al tanai, vatanan? Shimon omer, me viot shneem chatat, achat. Shimon says they jointly bring a single chatat. Yossi Meir, in Shneem, maybe Yot, Chatat Achad. You can't bring a single Chatat. Al Moder, Rabbi Yossi, late, no. Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow them to bring a single Chatat. Samarova, Moder, Rabbi Yossi, Mechusar Kapara. But Mechusar Kapara is very different. Mechusar Kapara, there's certain types of Tumah that a person is not Tahor until they bring a Korban. For instance, Yoledet, Zav, Zava, Yodola, where there's 7 days to be Tahor, but on the 8th day you must bring a Korban in order to be Mitaher. In many of those cases, there's a chatat, is the korban that you bring on the 8th day. So that korban that you bring on the 8th day is what allows that individual then to eat kodesh and to come into the mikdash. And the person is termed as a mechusarei kapara. Once they're tahor and they have yet to bring their korban, they have a status of mechusarei kapara. They're missing something in order to get to that final stage. The chatat that you bring in those cases, we discuss this many times in the Gemara and Zvachim, that chatat is not really alachet, not coming for a sin, but rather it's a chatat as a machshir. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is molde mechusar kapara. Chayin ki ata ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan, molde Rabbi Yossi mechusar kapara. My taima, hotam by gavra yedia. When it comes to a regular chatat, so for instance, two people were sitting there, and they have a piece of chaylev, which is asur, and a piece of shuman, fat that is mutar in front of them. Each one of them ate one piece. They're not sure which one ate the shuman, which one ate the chaylev. So I would think that you bring a chatat jointly, and you say, I'll bring it on condition. The condition is that if I'm the one who ate the chaylev, it's my chatat. If you ate the chaylev, it's your chatat, and they'll bring it jointly. Over there, Rabbi Yossi says, you can't do that. You can't make such a tnai. Because the Torah says it's a demand for yediyah. Dichtiv odai lav chatato asher chata. The pasuk says once he knows the sin, then he can bring a chatat. If he doesn't know the sin, he brings an asham talui. But there's no such concept as making a tanai, a conditional chatat, because you don't know about the chait. Hilkach lo matya no matne. Therefore, you can't bring it jointly and bring it on condition. Avahocha ki matya nashim korban lishtiru e b'achilat kodoshim. The reason they're bringing the chatat here is not to be nitchaper. It's all about allowing them to eat kodoshim and enter the mikdash. Kedetani seifa dohai. It says in the seifa there, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ko chatat shi ba lachet, ein shtayim mevi'o tota. The reason is because it's brought alachet. But a chet, you can't bring it on condition. Over here, we're not talking about a chet. We're talking about something that's a machshir, a chatat that is a machshir. Chatat that is a machshir, Rabbi Yossi says you can make such a tnai on it. Because first of all, there's no demand for yediyah. You don't have to know the chet, because there was no chet over here. And number two is, and this we said in the Gemara and Zvachim and other places, you have no other choice. What are we going to do for these individuals? If we don't allow them to bring the korban al tanai, then we're going to end up, or bring the chatat al asafek, then we're going to end up, they're never going to become tahor. They'll never be able to become tahor. If they never become tahor, we're leaving the person in a very difficult situation. So for tikune gavra, in order to improve the situation for the individual, over there we're going to suspend some of the rules. But again, over here, it's even more so because you don't have the need for yediyat achet. There was no chet. It's not a chatat as a sense of qua chet, but a chatat for makshir. Now the Gemara continues. Elu she'en mi'viot. These are the individuals that don't bring. And then we said, Rishon mechayev v'yotzei dofen. Shimon's a chayev when it comes to a suzerain section. My time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason Rabbi Shimon? I'm a rishal because I cry. Ve'im nekevate leid. It says in the beginning of Parsha Kitazriah, I'm zachar. Because it already says, Isha Kitazriah v'yalda zachar. So I would have known automatically, im nekevate leid. So why do I need im nekevate leid? Because it's im nekevahi. Instead of the word teleid. The word teleid is extraneous and that comes to teach us. Rabot leida acheret, to include a different type of birthing. Mayi. And that'll be a Yotzei Dofen, which is a cesarean section. Rabbanan, my time, what's the reason behind the Rabbanan? I'm Ramani Bapatosh, Isha ki tazriya v'yalda. It says, Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar, ad she delayed mi makom shemazrat. That the only time that you're chayevet in these korbanot is if she gives birth to the same place that she conceives. It has to come through the birth canal. So just like she conceives through the birth canal, so too the birth must come through the birth canal in order to be mechayev her in the korban of Yoledet. And therefore, Yotzei Dofen does not qualify in order to bring such a korban. Okay, now we'll continue. We'll do this Mishnah, and then we'll continue with this Gemara on this Mishnah tomorrow. The Mishnah says, I'm a pilot the or shmonim ve'achad. A woman who gives birth, if she gives birth to a male, she has tamei for 7 days, and then she has 33 days of dam tara. At the end of the 40th day, she brings her korban yoledet on the 41st day. If it's a nekeva, if she gave birth to a female, then she's tamei'ah for 14 days. And then she has 66 days of Demei Tara. On the 80th day, she's Tahor. On the 81st day, she brings her Korbanot Yoledet. Question is, when does the first Leida end and the new Leida begin? Why is that important? It's important because we need to distinguish between the first Leida and the second Leida with regards to whether she's Chayeret or Korban again. If she gives birth consecutively without ever emerging from these periods of time, I mean within the 40 days for a male, or within the 80 days for a female, then she'll only bring a single korban on multiple births. On the other hand, if she's already exited the time frame in which she would be tahor and bring a korban for giving birth to a mezachor and a keva, if she then miscarries or then gives birth, she'll have to bring a separate korban for that birth. And we're discussing over here is the 81st day. The 81st day is somewhat difficult. At the end of the 80th day, she is tahor completely. At the end of the 40th day, if it was a male, or the end of the 80th day, if she was a female, she's completely tahor. She does not bring her korban until the 41st day or the 81st day. Now that's because of a technical problem. Korbanot cannot be brought at night. They can only be brought during the day. So if she could have brought a korban, she would have brought it at night and would have been able to bring her korban immediately that night. But because of that technical problem that korbanot don't come at night, she has to wait until the 81st day or the 41st day in order to bring her korbanot. The question arises, what happens if she has a miscarriage on that night of after the 40th day, or the night after the 80th day? And what the Mishnah terms as or l'arim v'achad, or l'shmonim v'achad. The night before the 81st day, the night before the 41st day. If she miscarries then, is that considered to be a new start, a new count, because she already was tahor from her leida, already at the end of the 40th day or the end of the 80th day. And therefore, if she miscarries, now she'll have to bring a separate korban for that miscarriage. Or do you say, since she has yet to bring her korban, that already still keeps her within the context of the original birth? And if she miscarries on the night of the 81st, or the night of the 481st, on that she will still be included in the first korban. She'll have to bring one korban for both of them. That's a machloket beit hillel and beit shammai in our Mishnah. A mapelet l'or shmonim ve'achad, someone who miscarries after giving birth to a female, miscarries on the night after the 80th day, before the 81st day, beit shammai potrim min korban. Shammai says, you're potur min a korban, because you can join it together with the previous leida. Beit Hillel mechayevin, and Beit Hillel says, no, you're chayevet already, she's ready to whore, it's a new count. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, maishna or shmonim ve'achad, miyom shmonim ve'achad. Why is the night of the 81st day any different than the day of the 81st day? Im shava lo tuma, lo yishva lo korban? If she becomes tamea over there, she was tahor, and now she becomes tamea again, because it's not considered dam tahor anymore, so then, why should she be patur min korban? Should be as if she gave birth to a new entity, a new series, and she had to bring a separate korban. Amru lehem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai responds, lo, im amartim el v'pelet yom shminim ve'achad, sheken yatzah l'sha shehi ru'uya l'aviyat korban, about korban. On the day of the 81st, there was a time where she could have brought her korban. Tomorrow, v'pelet yom shminim ve'achad, shelo yatzah l'sha shehi ru'uya l'aviyat korban. She never reached a point where she could have brought the korban, because at night, technically, you can't bring korbanot. So Amar Lehem Beit Hillel, v'lo mapelet yom shmonim ve'achad, shechal yot b'shabbat. What happens on the 81st day if it turns out to be Shabbat? Tochiach. Shelo yatzah l'sha shehi ru'uya l'aviyat korban. She can't bring her korban on the 81st day when it falls out on Shabbat, because it's a korban yachid, and it's not dochet ha-shabbat. So it's not dochet ha-shabbat, she'll remain tamei, and she can't bring her korban, yet you agree that if she gave birth then she definitely would be onto a new count. So I'm lehem Beit Shammai, lo, im amartim yom shmonim ve'achad shechal yot b'shabbat, she'af b'she'inan ro'i l'korban yachid, ro'i l'korban tzibur. korbanot are still ruuyot to be brought on that day. It's not really for korban yachid, but korban tzibur, yes. Tomer ha'pela diyor shmonim ve'achad she'en alayla roi lo le korban yachid lo le korban tzibur. Nighttime is totally out of the realm of korbanot. No korbanot are brought at night. Not yachid, not tzibur. It's not the world of korbanot at all. Va'damim einan mochichim. And the fact that she becomes tmeah, if she sees dam on the night of the 81st day, it's not considered to be dam tohor. That's no proof. Because that's like any other time. If she would have to miscarry during the time that she had Dmei Tahara, again, the second set of days that she has after she gives birth to a male, first 7 days, any discharge she sees is Tmeah. After that, she can go to the mikveh after 7 days, and the next 33 days, any dam she sees is Tahor. Same thing with regards to a female. The first 14 days, any discharges of blood that she sees are Tmeot. She goes to the mikveh to the 14th day. Of the next 66 days, any blood or discharge that she sees, she's tahor. So there, even though that dam that she discharges is tahor, if she miscarries during that period of time, the blood that emanates from the miscarriage is tmeah. It's blood of tumah, not blood of tahara. And yet, over there, she still has joint one korban. There, everybody agrees that if she miscarries during that period of 66 days, that, of course, she only brings one korban because she never exited the first korban. So you bring one korban for both leidot. So you see there that tumah has nothing to do with leida. Because despite the fact that she is Tmeah, she doesn't bring a Korban. So the same thing over here. On the night of the 81st, even though now she's exited from the days when she has Dmei Tahara, and you're right, if she saw blood that night or miscarry that night, she'd be Tmeah. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean she's obligated in a new Korban. She might still be under the original Korban, because Korban and Tumah are not necessarily correlated. And I can prove that to you, because during the period of time when she has Dmei Tahara, if she miscarries, then she will be Tmeah. Nevertheless, she does not bring a separate Korban. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue with the Gemara tomorrow.